Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks, Chris. How the devil are you? It's very miserable here in London, and I'm sad.
It's lovely, absolutely lovely. We're in that sort of time now where it's just before summer kicks in and it gets really, really unpleasantly hot. So, yeah, I'm embracing the weather. It's lovely.
Ah, lovely old job. Well, I hope you get a nice tan. Do people get tans quite easily in Japan? Because obviously it's very humid. I imagine that might cool you down, cool the surface of the skin down a little bit.
Well, people don't like getting tanned in Japan. That's why they wear. That's why they use umbrellas in summer. It's quite surreal when you come over in summer. Everyone's using an umbrella to hide the sun because it's kind of it's. In Japan, like the peasants used to be tanned because they'd spend so much time out in the fields. So it kind of looks bad to have a tan. So it's the complete opposite of Europe and America and everywhere else. But yeah, I get tanned. I get incinerated when I'm over here. So I have to cake myself in sun lotion just to get by. Yeah. So you said you messaged me the other day saying you watched Lost in Translation, one of my favourite Japan films.
Well,
what led you to watch it?
I tell you exactly what let me watch it. It's now Wednesday, and Game of Thrones has been out for like 3 days, and I just couldn't find a decent stream of it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start watching something else instead, because if Game of Thrones can't be bothered to give me an illegal download of it, I am going to watch Lost in Translation instead. So I went onto Amazon Prime and watched Lost in Translation, because I haven't watched it since I was, well, since it came out, I suppose. I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was a Sofia Coppola film after The Virgin Suicides. And I remember when I was at university, I went to the cinema by myself, probably about 3 or 4 times to watch that film, because I bloody loved Virgin Suicides, because it was had a great soundtrack. It was just a really, really good film, and so when that came out, I was like, oh, that's got to be really good, and it was. But now I've gone back to it as a certified Japanophile. I was like, oh, that's quite interesting, really. I've sort of noticed places I've been, noticed things I've done.
You'd have been to all the places, wouldn't you?
Well, kind of, Well, it's very Shinjuku, isn't it? There's a lot of. He's just in a really posh hotel in Shinjuku.
It's basically just Shinjuku the movie. And it came out in 2003. So the skyline of Shinjuku is pretty much the same in the movie as it is now. But I love that movie. I've talked about it a fair bit, that I made a concerted effort when I first moved to Japan to pretty much go to every single place that's in the film. From the New York Bar and Grill, where Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson spend most of the time just hunched over a whiskey, which is at the top of the hotel, to the hotel itself, which cost a stupid sum of money. But it was kind of worth it to do it once. Also, the karaoke place where they do karaoke, the famous scene where they're sitting there doing karaoke for a few hours. I went there as well.
Whereabouts is that?
Pretended to be like in the film.
So there's like, because it's sort of like a window that kind of leans out into the street, isn't it? Is that in Shinjuku or is that in Shinjuku? Because I'm sure there's a place like that in Shibuya.
Well, it's actually just around the corner from your favourite place, which the Love Hotel district in Shibuya.
I bloody knew that, because I was like, that looks really familiar. That's really near the crossing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's like 5 minutes from the crossing. And it's a really unremarkable karaoke place, actually. Mm. There's nothing special about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they film there. But it's quite kind of cool, because you kind of do karaoke and you've got the window looking out onto the street across Shibuya. So it's kind of you do feel like you're in the film when you do karaoke there. So I recommend checking it out. It's not exactly expensive. It's like 2,000 yen for an hour or two session. So I'll have to drag you along there when you're over here.
Lovely old
in
job.
June.
Yeah.
Given that's where you basically end up most of the time when you come to Tokyo.
That'd be so
your
rude.
Stomping ground.
I just like the fact that it kind of shows you little bits and bobs we've spoken about before, like obviously the pervasiveness of the fax machine. Even in 2019, people still use fax machines. Bill Murray receives a lot of faxes and carpet samples, as he feels that his life is just, you know, going awry. And obviously karaoke and little wee bars and stuff. And but I mean, a lot of it is just Bill Murray going, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. People mixing, you know, L's and R's up. There's a lot of that about. And a lot of, like, Bill Murray going, I'm 6 foot one. Look how tall I am in the lift with all of these shorter people. Even though I'm fairly certain Japanese people aren't much shorter than anywhere else, to be quite frank.
Well, yeah, it's just he's bloody tall. Mm. What I like, I mean, that scene in the film, the most famous scene is where he's doing that commercial for whiskey, right?
Yeah.
And the guy, what is it the guy says? Do you remember? The director is like,
was it Suntory Good Times?
More feeling
or something? Yes. Suntory Good Times or something.
Yeah, and he's shouting at the woman, the translator, for like 5 minutes. And then she just sort of says, more intensity. He boils down the whole like tirade into one sentence.
Yeah, because he says loads of stuff like, he sort of goes, because it's Hibiki Suntory, isn't it? Hibiki something. That's the really fancy whiskey, which is really nice. If you ever get a bottle of Hibiki, get involved because it's really lovely. He's sort of saying like a million different things at Bill Murray, and then she just boils it down to like, look to the right. And he goes, did he really say just look to the right? Because he seemed like he said a lot of things there. And he goes, Anatawa, Tomodachi. He says something like talk to your friends or something. It's just so weird. But at the end, when he's saying goodbye to Scarlett Johansson, and let's make it very clear, she was 17 when this bloody film was filmed. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Little bit upsetting. When he says goodbye to her, I think I figured out what he says, because obviously you can't hear it. It's very low in the mix, and that's the mysterious thing. Bill Murray came up with something on set. He whispers it in Scarlett Johansson's ear and says, will you go and get us a coolish from 7-Eleven? He definitely says that.
are you sure about that, Pete? Or is
get us a 7-Eleven, get us a 7-Eleven coolish, will you? And a Pocari Sweat.
You should reenact that scene in the speech of Shinjuku. You should just redo Lost in Translation. I remember when I stayed there, I actually was going to make a video and I started filming it. Mm. And I was going to make a video called Lost in Stupidity. And I reenacted the scene where Scarlett Johansson's in the hotel room by the window, lazing around like amongst a pile of rubbish and boxes and everything. And I staged it and filmed it, but I looked too ridiculous. I just thought the image would come back and haunt me. And I just ended up deleting it, probably for the greater good. But maybe we should refilm it with you in it.
Get me a pink wig.
Just need a girl.
Get me a pink wig.
To play
wig.
Scarlett Johansson.
I'll play the girl. Grow up.
But I could definitely relate to the whiskey scene where the director's having a go at him, because I've done that. I think I mentioned I did a tire commercial in Sendai a few years back.
Mm.
It was just a voiceover, and it was in English for this tire company. I don't even know how it happened. I think Ryotaro just got this weird job for me, so I went in and did it. And I had to say, like, these are the best tires you'll ever have. The best tires, if you can have a car, these are the tires to buy. Something like that. And the guy kept coming in, and his direction was just horrific. He just came in and was like, more feeling. What does that mean, more feeling? I think the problem was my intonation's a bit rubbish. I'm not like you. My intonation's a bit monotonous. So I kind of just like, these are really good tyres, you should definitely buy them. When he wanted, these are the best goddamn tyres you're ever going to buy. They're the best tyres, you've got to buy these tyres, they're amazing.
I'd love to hear you, I'd love to hear this advert of you just not giving a shit, sort of going, if you need some tyres for your car, just, I mean, you can buy these. I mean, you buy anyone really, any one of them, but these are all right, I suppose. I'm reliably informed that these tyres are pretty good.
There you go. I never heard the commercial, and I don't particularly want to, but if you're in Japan, you hear a tyre commercial, and you hear my voice, let me know. Mm. Drop us a line, because it'd be good to hear what came of it. Anyway, today, I thought we got an interesting one. This the magazine article came out listing the ideal traits for a man from Japanese women. Japanese women's magazine lists of traits for an ideal man. And there was a list of about 45 things, and I narrowed it down to the 26 most interesting ones, because if we went through the whole list, we'd be here till the end of time.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be quite interesting to go through this list of somewhat bizarre traits. There's 26 of them. And see who wins out of Pete and myself. Who gets the most points? Who has the most traits, the most ideal traits? I don't know who's going to win, but it's certainly going to be interesting.
So this is probably the battle Pete. For who's going to be the most ideal man in Japan. The most ideal Japan man. Is it me or is it you, Chris?
It could be me, it could be you. Really know, but I know this. If you're listening to this, guys, do keep a score. Let us know if you win out of Pete and me and yourself. Let's see who gets the most points. The first one probably isn't very surprising. So number one, and keep a score, Pete, because I can't bother to keep count for you well. So I'm too lazy for that. Number one,
got a pen.
The first ideal trait. Number one, the guy would have black hair, ideally.
Right. That precludes a lot of the world, really, isn't it? I mean, if you've got any other colour than black, you're screwed, really. Because obviously Japanese people have black hair kind of thing, don't they?
What about dark brown hair? Is that black hair?
Well, clearly not. They must know the difference between black and brown, so no, I don't think you would be able to get away with that. I thought you did have quite black hair, as they go.
Nah. I did dye my hair comically black once. It was the worst thing I've ever done. I look like Dennis the Menace, a cartoon character. Because obviously it just looks abnormally weird for just a Westerner to dye their hair black, and it looked ridiculous. I had to shave all my hair off. Don't know what I was thinking. The box did say, to be fair, it did say shocking black, and it was certainly shocking for all the wrong reasons. So 0 points
no,
there.
0 points for both you and yeah. I. Zero, zero.
The second one is again related to hair.
Okay.
The ideal guy should have a short hairstyle.
Yes, I think I've got this one. Your hair is a little bit longer than mine, but it's still short.
Is my hair short?
Yeah,
your hair is short.
Yeah, your hair is still short though, isn't it? And when you visit England, you always get your hair cut here. So if you're not short now, in the next couple of months when you pop home, you'll probably be short pretty soon. So that's
I'm
a one all here.
A point. Yeah. Give myself a point. A number three. At least 175 centimetres or 5'9".
Oh, no.
You're about that, aren't you?
I'm 5'8".
Really?
There's no two ways about it. I can't dress it up. The height of, I don't know, probably a bit taller than Lionel Messi. And he does all right, so. I'm taller than most Hollywood hunks, because they've got that perfect ratio of quite a small body but a big head, which is apparently quite perfect for the screen.
Well, I don't know what I know I'm around 173 or 4, but I thought you were taller than me, so I don't know how that works.
I'm definitely I think you're a bit taller than me, but I'm definitely 5'8", and I'm cool with it. I've lived with this for a long time. It's fine.
Well, I'm not going to give myself a point there, because I don't know. But I know I'm in the region of 174 to 5. But
that's a zero for both of us there.
So it's not a clear-cut win, is it? So I can't really have that one.
Oh, dear. Oh, well.
Number four, though. I think number four goes over to you. And this is thin and muscular.
Oh, we're fucked. We are fucked, Chris. Excuse my language, but we are ruined.
Well, no, you are thin and muscular because you work out at the gym, as you always talk about on this podcast.
I never talk about my gym work.
Eat your protein bloody bars all the time.
I started the day with a sausage and egg sandwich, so no, I don't start with I don't do my protein. I do go to the gym. I'm more muscular than I have been in the past, but I'm still, you get, when you're a bit younger, And this happens to a lot, lads, I always think. You get in your mind that you're a thin guy. Yeah, I'm the thin guy. I'm a thin guy. I've got really small wrists and little skinny arms, and I'm a thin guy. And then you get in your 30s and you're like, oh, no, I'm not a thin guy anymore. But parts of my body have remained thin, but my belly, because I like beer, has gone big. So I look like a little frog boy. So
I think, by the standards of a Japanese person, you are thin. I think you can give yourself a point. I mean, I definitely can't.
Oh,
I might have been
thin
and muscular straight after the cycle, but now, having several months have passed, and I'm not doing that well, especially as it's been winter, so I just sit inside and eat chocolate and stuff. So I can't really give myself a point there, but I think you definitely should. If you're not thin and muscular, I don't know who is.
All right, okay. I'll give myself a point. No point for you. What's the next one?
And I don't want you to win. Let me be clear. I don't want you to win here.
Yeah, this is the charity case, yeah.
Objectively, you are thin and muscular. Number five. This is a weird one. Often wears hooded sweatshirts.
Right, what's that about?
I don't do that. I don't do that at all.
I do when I go to the gym, so I guess I wear them almost every day, but still, like, that's not a sweatshirt.
That qualifies as often.
Probably, yeah. Surely. I probably would put myself in there, but like also... What is the, I mean, who does wear hooded sweatshirts? I mean, it's very skate culture, isn't it? Old hooded sweatshirts and streetwear, you'd call it, wouldn't you? So basically, they say they like streetwear. Who has voted for these things? That's what I want to know.
Japanese women. No. I mean, I dress like a Bond villain, which means I basically just wear a black T-shirt most days. And I don't wear hooded sweatshirts because I like to dress like I'm a serious evil businessman. And sweatshirts kind of kill that persona. So I definitely can't. Get a point here. But you do.
Okay.
So well done again.
All right, fair dues.
Lucky devil. Number six. The ideal man prefers navy blue or white clothing. And again, I am screwed. No points there.
No
points
here.
I don't do blue. I don't do white. I just wear black.
I wear some dreadful clothing. Just completely not a dreadful clothing. Awful.
But you wear navy blue and white, don't you?
I just wear all the colours of the rainbow. It's just, I mean, not that navy blue or white is in the rainbow, I don't think, but I'm just saying that it's, I wear some, it's terribly colourful clothing, but no, navy blue or white is not one of those.
Are you sure? No, you're being too harsh on yourself here.
I don't think it's really an accolade, personally.
Number seven, the ideal man spends a lot of time in the Harajuku neighbourhood. Now, I've admitted many times in the past that I despise Harajuku. I don't like fashion. I don't like young people. I don't like trendy things. I hate Harajuku, and I may go out of my way to avoid it, along with Shibuya. So, again, no point for me, but you seem to like Harajuku, don't you, Pete?
I don't like Harajuku because it's very busy, and it's just there's nothing for me, is there, really? It's just full of tourists going, oh, where are the little girls dressed like weird Edwardian dolls? Where are the little girls dressed like Edwardian dolls? And they're never there. It's just people hawking old, knock-off handbags and stuff. So, yeah, it's... not really. I don't really spend a lot of time there. There is a good toy shop there called Kiddie World, rather upsettingly. So I recommend
I'm
that.
I'm amazed you haven't brought up Condom Mania.
Oh, yes, in Condom Mania. Yeah, it's just a
prominently placed.
Yeah, right on the biggest crossing in Harajuku. There's just a shop it's kind of on the street. It just sells condoms, and it's Condom Mania. And everyone's fine with it.
You can't miss it, really, can you?
No, you really can't.
The billboard for it's pretty significant.
It's so strange.
In size and scale. Yeah, all right, so no points there. Probably a good thing, though. number eight, and I don't get this one, the ideal man should have his birthday in August. Both of us have our birthdays in April.
So. What's that about?
What's that about? It
just sounds like they've interviewed one woman in Harajuku in
who's
a hoodie who wants to get back with her boyfriend whose birthday's in August.
It is, though. It is Natsuki's birthday in August, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah.
To be fair, I probably am. So there's 1 point to Natsuki.
1 point for Natsuki.
But yeah, no points there. This is not going well for me at all.
Number nine.
The ideal guy is the oldest son out of all his siblings. And I've got a point there. Yes.
Yes.
Finally.
So have I.
I've got one younger sister.
So have I. So we're keeping parity, yeah. So I'm the oldest son out of the siblings. My sister's younger than me, so I'm also very much in the race now.
I don't know. I don't really know why that's a trait people like. I guess it's because the oldest sibling typically inherits more money from the family and has a lot more responsibility. But I would have thought that would be a burden.
Yeah.
Because typically the oldest sibling has to, look after the parents.
Yeah.
The parents live with them and stuff. So don't really know why that's a...
Not looking forward. Not looking forward, these people.
Yeah. Yeah, who wants to live with their their in-laws' family in a tiny house, crowded? Stuff that. Number 10. The ideal man should be a member of an athletic club as opposed to an art club. I think that's you.
I mean, that is...
a sporty football
that's
man.
That's, yeah. I probably have one there, but I think... what's wrong with art clubs? Why? It's, as I said, it's very specific. It just sounds like they've interviewed one woman who wants to get back with a sporty hoodie-wearing ex.
I don't get any points there. As I mentioned before, me and sports and I don't really have a very good relationship. So I'd probably be in the art club because film equals art. So, yeah, no points there. The ideal guy, this is number 11, the ideal guy should have a lot of friends. A lot of friends. that's kind of a subjective one.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of friends, Pete?
I have a lot of acquaintances and a few close friends. But I get really stressed out when I don't... If somebody says, oh, let's go for lunch, I'm like, I don't have time, but I feel very guilty. So I do it anyway, and then I'm really pushed. So I do feel... more of a duty to people who aren't necessarily really close friends, I'd say. So, yeah.
You're going to give yourself a point.
You know what? I am going to give myself a point there. And I'm not trying to steal points. I'm not very... Again, I may be a member of an athletic club as opposed to an art club, but I'm not very competitive.
Well, I'm going to give myself a point there because, objectively, I guess I do. I don't know what a lot of friends is, but I feel like I've got friends.
I'll be your friend, Chris.
Japan and the UK, so I've earned it. Fuck it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was saying something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Number 12. The ideal guy has had three prior girlfriends. I have actually, yeah, so that's a point for me. What about you?
Yeah, I'm serial monogamist. I've had a few.
Brilliant. Why is that a popular trait? Any ideas?
I mean,
why is three the magic number?
Yeah, it means that you're not weird. It means that you're not a man who upsets people, and can juggle responsibilities having loads of friends and also having a few girlfriends in the past. I don't know why three is a magic number, though.
Not a man that upsets people. I know for a fact that the three prior girlfriends, I think I've made them cry at some point. So I don't know if that's accurate, but is that something I should admit on the podcast?
Everybody gets upset sometimes, don't they? Yeah. And sometimes they're not necessarily getting upset at you. They're getting upset about something about their own lives. I don't know.
Oh, I'm giving myself a point there. Number 13, the ideal guy. Moving on swiftly from the stories of how I made my girlfriends cry. Number 13, the ideal guy. The ideal guy currently works part-time at a cafe.
Where's that come from?
I don't know. I don't know why that's a thing. I mean, I've not worked at a cafe, but I've worked at a castle. But I don't currently do that because I'm a YouTuber, and I know you don't work at a cafe unless you've secretly been moonlighting or doing something on the side whilst being a top-line radio DJ.
I did one trial day at a Costa Coffee and covered a woman in foam. So I don't think I will be working in a cafe because...
When was that?
That was when I was like 22, I think. I left uni and I was like, oh God, I need some money quickly. And I covered a woman in foam.
Sounds rather distasteful. No points there. Trait number 14, the ideal guy should be kind and gentle. Now, I'd say you get a point there. You are relatively kind and somewhat gentle. Neither of those things. I'm abrasive and unpleasant, and I'm definitely not kind and gentle. I can't give myself a point there, even if I wanted to.
I think you're quite kind, though.
Nah.
Unless you're faced with a balloon animal that a man's made for a project.
Well, yeah, what have I done for you recently? I mean, I bought you Kobe beef.
That's true. Actually, no, wait a second.
Brian Cranston.
Wait a second. Did Tokyo Creative not foot the bill for that one, Sunshine? I'm not letting you have that one.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I haven't done anything good for you, have I?
Yeah, but you've let me on this podcast and also a couple of your videos, so that's pretty kind. How much can you know about yourself until you're on a YouTube video? Pete looks like CM Punk. Pete's got a funny shaped head. Hasn't Pete got a big nose? Pete doesn't look 37.
He's clearly been traumatised by your experience on YouTube. I think you could get a point there. I'm not having a point.
Okay. You're mugging yourself on a lot of points here. Off a lot of points.
Well, I'm trying to... I want points, make no mistake, but I'm trying to be fair and objective. Okay. The next one is the ideal guy... wants to get married someday.
Right.
Mm. So you want to get married someday?
You know, when the right person comes along. Yeah, I'd probably do, yeah. But it hasn't happened yet. I've got no policy against it. I do find the shackles of marriage serve the men better than they serve the women in a male female partnership. But yeah, in my situation, yeah, I could. If somebody wanted to get married, I probably would.
There you go. If anybody's listening, wants to marry Pete Donaldson, let us know. It's interesting. Up until the age of the other week, when I was 28 years old, I never really wanted to get married. I thought, no, why would anyone ever want to get married when you can travel the world and have adventures and be free? But I don't know. I felt, now that I'm almost 30, I do feel like it might be a good idea to settle down. Could be quite fun. And my views on that have changed completely. I remember when I was a teacher, all my students used to ask me, oh, do you want to get married? Do you want to get married? Because they love asking that question for some reason. And I would always be like, no, I don't. Stop asking me questions about marriage. Never. But yeah, no, my views on that have changed. And not just because I want a point in this little, quiz.
Sounds like we can't rule it out.
I'm giving myself a point there. I'm having a damn point.
Well, you can still get married and then travel the world, Chris. You don't have to, but you can just do it together. And also, like, you don't have to get married. You can get married. It's completely up to you guys. If you want a big party, invite your friends or your colleagues.
Yeah. I think my views on marriage are very weird, to be honest. I just see it as this form of entrapment. But now, I don't know, I feel like maybe it could work. Maybe it could work after all. Get people to send in their views on marriage. To the abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com folder. What we got next? The next one, trait number 16. The ideal guy limits his per month clothes purchases to 10,000 yen, which is about $90 or £80. Right. What about you, Pete?
On average, I'd probably say no. I buy a lot of suits. I like suits, so not expensive suits necessarily, but I quite like suits. And no, so I probably don't limit my per month clothes purchases to 10,000 yen.
Well, finally, something I actually put a point on that you don't. I very rarely buy clothes. I mean, my wardrobe is just about 5 or 6 black T-shirts on coat hangers that I alternate between. So I have little need to buy anything else, and I despise clothes shopping. So yeah, I get a point there, even though it's not very flattering, is it? The idea that I don't buy clothes. It's cool to buy clothes. It's cool to buy suits.
Well, if you've got your basics, if you only wear black shirts and, you know,
why do you have an addiction to buying suits? How did that come about?
I don't know. I started buying them, quite liked them. I don't know. I like putting on a suit. If I had like a fair whack of money and a big house, I'd have a walk-in cupboard and I'd just wear a suit every day. But since I don't, I can't.
Pete Donaldson's life goals. A cupboard full of suits.
Yeah. Be cool.
Ideal trait, number 17. The ideal guy often rolls up the sleeves of his long-sleeved shirts.
Ooh. Yeah, I do that. I can't walk around. You can't walk around, right, with a long-sleeved shirt. With no jacket. If you're wearing a jacket, all right, you roll your sleeves down, but you've got to roll your sleeves up if you're just wearing a shirt. That's crazy talk if you don't do that.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you there, and that is something I do religiously. So a point there for me and a point for you.
Yay!
Yes. I don't know why, I don't really know why that's a trait. Is it just cool to roll up your long sleeve shirts?
Again, very specific. This woman is just, it's just one woman. It's just one woman trying to get her ex back, and we are servicing it.
I suppose looking down this list so far, there aren't many points that really contradict each other, so it could just genuinely be one person with a rather demanding list of characteristics and traits they want from some guy. The next point, number 18, the ideal guy will give you accessories for your birthday present.
Accessories?
Is that you do?
What kind of accessories? Like,
well, earrings, necklace.
Oh, I was more thinking
cufflinks.
Like... I was thinking like a mobile phone cover or a...
Well, I suppose that works.
Curtain
Japanese
rail.
People love mobile phone covers. You ever been to a shop and seen how many there are? Hundreds.
Yeah.
One iPhone model.
Yeah, just think accessories. Like a GoPro mount.
I don't think that would
no,
count.
No, that's not in there, no. Okay.
I mean, is that something you would do, though, for your girlfriend? Would you buy accessories?
I always hedge my bets. I try and buy clothes and stuff, which is a bloody nightmare. Like, never try and buy clothes. But I always have a crack, and half of it usually goes back. So I usually end up spending way too much money, and I massively hedge my bets. I'll buy something, and then I'll go, oh, that's not enough. I'll buy something else, and then I'm not sure about any of these presents. I'll buy a bit more, and then I end up spending a ridiculous amount of money, which is no good financially.
I mean, I don't really. From my previous girlfriends, I don't recall getting any accessories. I usually just do going out for dinner,
yeah,
or travelling and doing experiences.
Yeah, I think experiences is a great. Great way of doing that, because then you can have a enjoy it as well.
Exactly, it's basically just an excuse for me to go out to a restaurant, to be honest. I don't know, I'm not really into material things. I know girls like having things like accessories. All my girlfriends usually criticize me for not buying them enough earrings and things. So no point for me there, but I suspect you'll be giving yourself one, Mr.
You know, I'm gonna give myself one, man. And I'm gonna give myself one hard, thank you. Do, 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 do. One for Pete, zero for Chris. Yes.
Number 19, the ideal man regularly texts, emails, and calls you, or does one of those things. I'm notorious for not doing phone calls. I purposely ignore phone calls when they come through because I despise talking on the phone. I'm not even sure why that is, to be honest, but I don't really like talking on the phone. I do texts, I don't do emails for girlfriends, that'd be a bit weird. I don't know really. What do you do that? This is getting quite personal now, isn't it?
It depends on what your situation is. If you're not living with that person, I probably do over text. But then also, I prefer a phone call if I'm speaking to someone I really care about. But then, I can do without phone calls in every other aspect of my life. Like nowadays, nobody really calls. It's only the older generation who insists on picking up a phone call and getting a response. And to be honest, it kind of sorts things out a lot quicker, the old phone call, because you kind of ruminate and there's a bit of back and forth. With text, it's just like tap, 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 tap. And it's just like, it feels more like admin, the old texts, rather than a phone call, because a phone call's a bit more personal.
I'm in two minds whether or not to give myself a point. I do a lot of texting, but I don't do phone calls. I think I'm going to give myself a point.
Okay, Chris. Yes. Okay, good
Screw
man.
It. Are you?
I think I do a lot of texts. I do a lot of texts.
Well, you do text me a lot.
There's
no escape.
You up. You up, babe. You up, bear.
Exactly. It's that kind of... It's always fun waking up in the morning and opening my messages to find some weird photo that you've sent of something odd.
Yeah.
Like someone leaving crap on your postbox outside the front of your apartment. I live for those moments, Pete. Mm. Number 20. The ideal man likes eating meat and meaty dishes.
Oh.
Meaty dishes.
It definitely sounds like she's like the daughter of a massive abattoir owner. And so she's like, oh, my ideal. Like, we can't be doing with any vegetarians in the house. She's definitely got a definite type, hasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, vegetarianism still hasn't really arrived in Japan outside of Buddhist monk circles. The only place you find it is Buddhists, really.
Right.
Outside of that, it's still seen as just massively weird and inconvenient in Japan. They don't see any health benefits of cutting out meat, and it just causes all sorts of problems. So I can understand why that's a thing. I think... it just causes hassle for the woman, knowing that she won't be able to cook various dishes and things. So, I mean, I get a tick there, no doubt about that. I am the epitome of someone who lives and dies by eating meat and meaty dishes. So I get a point, and I know for a fact you do.
Well, I did start the day with a sausage sandwich, so I can't really get out of that one, can I?
Exactly. Your whole breakfast this morning was a sausage sandwich. Number 21, the ideal man... loves cola.
Where's this going?
It's
so strange.
This looks
weird.
Like a sponsorship for Coke. I don't know why that's a thing. I hate cola. I drink it every week, at least once, I'd say, but I despise it. I feel really guilty once I've drunk it, given that it is just a cup of sugar and diabetes. So I avoid it. I don't like it. No point there.
I do like a Diet Coke. I've already had a Diet Coke today.
Diet Coke.
Full fat. Full fat's hangover stuff.
It's like Coke without Coke. It's like drinking Coke without all the fun.
Yeah, but when diet you get to my age, the metabolism starts to slow down, so you can't get away with. And then people say, oh, yeah, but the body reacts to Diet Coke the same way that you do it to Coke. But I quite like the bite of the Diet Cola. It's like, ah, it's so aggressive. It's nice.
The bite of the Diet Cola.
Ang, ang, ang.
There is no bite. Disgusting. Number two, point number 20, point 22. The ideal guy is into Beatles. And let me elaborate. That's not Beatles, the music, the band, that is just Beatles. Because in Japan, for some weird reason that I've yet to comprehend, Beatles are seen as cute. They're seen as cute. Unlike spiders. Nobody likes spiders here, but they like Beatles. Don't know why that is.
Do you see a lot of Beatles in Japan?
A fair bit, yeah. About as often as I see spiders.
Right,
which,
okay.
to be fair, isn't that often, because I live in Tohoku. So in North Japan, we don't have that many unpleasant insects. If you're in the south, in Kyushu or Shikoku, there's loads. There's no escaping them. So, but no, I don't like beetles at all.
I'm not that arsed about beetles, to be honest. Maybe the scarab beetle, the old dung roller. Right. I like them. But no, I'm not really. I wouldn't say I was into beetles in the slightest. So no points for either of us there.
Number 23.
Already won. See you later. Already won this one.
This is the one. This one was written for you. Number 23. The ideal man can drink a lot of alcohol.
And hi, I've won the game. Thank you very much for playing, Chris. See you next week.
Well, I think by the standards of Japanese people, both you and I can drink a lot of alcohol. Yeah,
we don't need those little recovery bottles neither to recover the next day. We just sleep it off for an entire day and just chin the whole day off.
Yes, the whole day's a write-off. Fair play to Japanese people. I've never seen a hungover Japanese person. Even at work parties where the colleagues that I was with used to get obliterated and down like a whole bottle of wine, and we'd go to work the next day and they'd just be completely normal as if nothing had happened, whereas I'd have to sort of sneak off to the side room where you can sleep. And I would like to sleep in this little room. But yeah, I've never seen a hungover Japanese person. They're magic. But maybe that's because they can't drink a lot of alcohol. Mm. I don't know. What I do know is I've got a point, finally.
We both get that one, I think.
Number 24. The ideal guy doesn't wear aftershave or cologne.
Oh, no. I wear a lot of cologne, so you'll definitely win this one, Chris. But I was once in a taxi in New Orleans, and the taxi driver, we were in a taxi, and the taxi driver went, who's wearing all cologne? And we were all wearing cologne, and we're going, well, we're all kind of wearing it. He goes, next time, a little less. I was like, you're not getting a fucking tip.
Well, I wonder if it's a British thing, because I used to wear quite a lot when I was a teacher, especially as... I think it's because in the summer it's just so bloody hot, right?
Yeah.
You get kind of sweaty and you want to mask it by wearing cologne and aftershave. But I used to use it, and my students would always comment on it. They'd often say, oh, it's a nice smell, it smells great.
Right.
But on the surface, it seemed like they were complimenting me. But I think actually they were subtly being indirect and sort of hinting that I was using it too much and being too polite to say. But either way, I do wear it a lot, so...
Oh, interesting.
I don't get a point there. And the fact that that's on the list would suggest that Japanese people don't really like it. You don't actually smell that much aftershave in Japan at all. They don't really use it. Japanese people don't sweat as much as we do. And that's not just me making that up. That's actually a statistical, scientific objective
fact. I think technically it's like they don't smell. Their sweat doesn't smell. They do sweat, but they don't. The smell doesn't sweat because the... effluvia, the poop of the microbes that eat the sweat, doesn't smell as bad. And in the grand scheme of like genetic sweat smells, we're right up there as the very worst. The old Western white people. So there you go.
Hence the need of aftershave.
Aye.
This is the end game. We're getting towards the end of the list here. Number 25, the ideal guy is good at cooking rice omelettes.
I don't think I've ever had a rice omelette.
Have you not? Literally omelette rice.
Egg and rice.
Bloody good.
Oh, just so egg good. Fried rice, but all in one clump, it sounds like.
Well, what it's like, you get the rice and then they sort of cook an omelette and drape it over the rice and then cover it in tomato sauce or demi-glaze sauce. It's so good.
Right.
It's so good. I can cook omelettes. It's about the only thing I can cook.
Yeah.
Because it's just the simplest thing. And not even I can fuck that up. But... I can't really cook rice, but then I suppose you just have to put it in a rice cooker. I've never cooked a rice omelette. I used to eat omelettes like every day when I was working as a teacher.
Yeah.
I used to have them for breakfast, but I never had it with rice. But nevertheless, I can cook an omelette really well, and I'm giving myself a much needed point there.
Yeah, I'm not giving myself any there because I've never even had a rice omelette, quite frankly. Oh my God, we've reached the final question, Chris.
This is it. The last trait, probably the most important. Mm. The ideal guy, number 26, the ideal guy is always smiling.
Oh.
Always smiling.
Wow.
And that is no point for me.
I don't think I'm getting...
Smile. You probably get a point there. You're
I don't think I'm getting... I'm always happy, but the only time you see me is when I'm on holiday, so I'm fairly fairly carefree when I want to be.
Are you going to give yourself a point?
Nah. I'm British, of kind of like, we don't smile. We grimace.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah, Chris, I think I might have hammered you there, Chris, to be honest. I think I might have absolutely destroyed you. I'm like easy about, I reckon I'm about, out of 26, I reckon I'm about 18, 19. Lovely old job.
Really?
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, crap. Oh, I've only got 11 out of 28. Oh, so, sorry, 11 out of 26.
Well, that's all right.
Oh, man.
So basically, I should be on national television. I should be on NHK as the perfect man in Japan.
Basically, you're the closest to being ideal that you could possibly be, being a Westerner.
Being an oldest son, a member of an athletic club, and having three prior girlfriends.
Well done, Pete. I'm actually quite surprised. I thought I'd do better than that. I'm kind of disappointed.
Well, it just sounds very specific. This person has done this. It's not right. It's not right, Chris. I'm not having it.
What did you get, guys? Let us know at brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Did you get 26? If you got over 20, well done, because that's pretty damn impressive, and you should definitely tell us. Drop us a line. Now, before we go, we've got a few emails here, and you might recall in a recent podcast, I think it was last week, we actually talked about scams in Japan, and since then, a lot of people have messaged me about various scams going on, and we've got two emails here, and the first one's from Ohad, and he says, "Hey there, Chris and Pete, love your podcast and listening to every new episode when it comes out. I just arrived in Tokyo. I wanted to share a weird story. I was going about in Akihabara when an old lady insisted that I sign a petition of some sort. When I tried to understand it, she pointed at a small leaflet that talked about organ donations. Any idea what that was? Hope it was nothing major." Yeah, I've had a few people message me about this. I don't really know. I've never seen this myself. And my first bit of advice would be don't sign it, because that's a little bit odd, given that you're a foreign tourist in Japan. I don't possibly know how you could be a value
is it
to
not
the organ donation
the,
market of Japan.
Is it not the Falun Gong Chinese organ removal thing? If I was going to bet, I would say that it's probably the Chinese Falun Gong followers who are
that?
Annoyed. It's a, I think it's a form of yoga or some kind of spiritual following that's banned in China, and the Chinese government treat the followers very badly, and there's reports of persecution and abuse, widespread abuse and organ removal in some cases as well.
Oh, blimey.
Something they're continuing.
Pretty damn sinister.
Yeah. So so you'll see in outside the Chinese embassy in pretty much every Western and Eastern city, you will get Falun Gong protesters protesting outside. There's ones in London. If you go up past the BBC on Old Great Portland Street, you'll see there's always somebody protesting outside the Chinese embassy over the other side, and they're always there. It's incredibly incredible.
This is
single-mindedness.
This is actually something.
That's all I can imagine. That's all I can imagine. The organ donation thing would be about, I reckon, because I mean you can't really just offer your guts up on holiday. Yeah, take that.
We've got another one from Hyde, which is a different one. I mean, the first one, whether it's a scam or not, remains a little bit vague. The second one's from Hyde. I'll let you handle that, Pete.
All right. What up, gents? Love the podcast. Keep at it. We will, probably, Hyde. That's all right with you. I have a story for you both, and I'm curious if you've ever heard of anything like this before. This happened to me twice. I was walking through a construction tunnel in Akihabara. It acts like a shortcut so you don't have to walk around the block. It was around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. A tall guy in all black with black medical mask, sunglasses, a hat and a hood over his hat walks up to me and puts his hand out with a 100 yen coin in the middle. The first time I just ignored him. Yeah. The first time I just ignored him and walked right round. The second time I was in mid-conversation with my wife and I didn't even see him. He just suddenly popped out, grabbed my arm near the elbow and showed me his hand again with a 100 yen coin. I shook him off and muttered involuntary, "What the fuck?" and then walked off. He did not give chase, but I saw him watch from inside the tunnel until I was out of sight, just standing there. It's creepy enough that he was skinny, tall and all in black in a darkly, dimly lit tunnel with sunglasses on in the dark, like some kind of yokai, lol. There was a security camera on this guy too. He operates in full view of an ATM camera or something. I don't know if he's trying to do a magic trick, rip me off, or he's just messing with Gaijin. What do you think? It's so weird. Just a man in a dark tunnel with sunglasses on, bothering tourists.
I think that's quite common. I've heard that quite a lot. I think it's basically, it could be someone who's homeless or it could just be someone who's looking for money. Thing is, homeless people in Japan are actually, they never seem to beg for anything. They kind of keep to themselves, whereas this chap just sounds like he thought it could be a way of earning money. Didn't we read out a story before, a few months ago, of someone, that this happened to them in Akihabara.
In Akihabara, yeah.
And they, and they gave him some money, and the guy went off and bought some
rice balls.
Bought some onigiri. Mochi, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mochi, yes, that's right, yeah.
And then the guy offered it to the foreign person who'd given him the money. He offered him a bit of the rice cake as a thank you or something.
Sharing
it was rather
the
weird.
Yeah, that was quite cool, actually. Yeah, I forgot about that. It's quite funny.
Yeah. I would call it a scam. I'd just call it a little bit intimidating. Being in a darkly, dimly lit tunnel with a skinny, tall guy wearing a black mask covering his face with sunglasses as well. Honestly, sounds kind of weird.
I guess Akihabara is kind of, it's quite a new thing that it's a bit of a tourist trap. So I guess people would sort of say, well, where are tourists? Well, Shibuya, but also Akihabara is a pretty popular place because it's all of the otaku geek culture.
Absolutely. I mean, most of the scams that I read about recently have been in Akihabara, though. I mean, both of these stories are in Akihabara. And the other one, the flag people. Mm. Remember last week, the people that stick a Japanese flag in your hand and you think, oh, wow, a free flag. And then they try and charge you 500 yen for it. Yeah. They were in Akihabara as well. So if you are in Akihabara, just be wary. There seems to be a lot of scams going on. Nothing too serious. More annoying than anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, just be on your guard. And if you see your friend or family member being talked to or made to sign something or give money, just drag them away. As I did with my friend, just keep them away, really. That's all I'll say on that. But if you have anything happen to you, that sounds sinister. If you have any experiences on your travels in Japan, let us know at brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Keep the questions coming. Next week, guys, we'll be doing an episode dedicated to answering your questions and reading out your stories. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, thanks for listening, and we'll be back this same time next Thursday. Have a good one.
Next week, we're going to do a show about what we like in girls.
a dashing smile and the ability to cook fried chicken upon request. That's
Christopher!
That's all I want. That's all I ask.
It's 2019. What's wrong with you?
show is part of the Radio Stakhanov Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.